Welcome to our deep dive into the Old Testament. Today we're exploring this lecture by Dr. Elaine Phillips on Old Testament literature. And, you know, she really tackles some big questions head on.
Oh, yeah.
Like revelation, inspiration, and even how a Rembrandt painting, can you believe this, can help us understand the Bible better.
Ah.
So you've ever thought about, like, how can we really know what we know about God?
Yeah.
You know, especially after all this time,
right,
after centuries of, you know, the Bible being copied and translated, this deep dive is for you.
Dr. Phillips starts off by asking this question that you might be asking yourself right now, which is, how do we learn about God?
Mm.
And she talks about two key ways that this happens, general revelation and special revelation.
Okay, I'm interested. I'm intrigued, but help me out a little bit.
Sure.
What are these two types of revelation?
Okay, so think of it like this. Imagine that you're out on a clear night and you're looking up at the stars, right? And you just have that sense of awe and wonder when you're looking up at the stars.
Yeah.
That's general revelation. It's like when you encounter the beauty and complexity of the natural world, even something as simple as a flower or, you know, as vast as the Milky Way.
So it's like those moments where you're like, man, there's got to be something bigger out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Dr. Phillips points to Psalm 19. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." So it's like creation itself is shouting out God's existence.
That's a powerful image. Although I have to say, sometimes when you look at the world, it can raise more questions than answers.
Hmm.
Especially, you know, when we think about things like suffering or natural disasters.
Right.
How does all that fit into this idea of, you know, general revelation?
Yeah, you're hitting on one of the limitations of general revelation. You know, it might reveal God's power, his majesty, you know, those things.
Right.
But it doesn't give us the full picture of, you know, his character, his plan for us, any of that stuff. It's like, imagine you're standing in front of a beautiful Rembrandt painting.
Okay.
You can see the artist's skill, you know, the beauty of the painting, all that. But you might not get, like, the deeper meaning behind it. You don't know why the artist painted it.
Right.
You don't know what they were thinking.
Okay, I'm starting to see where you're going with this. So we need something more than just, you know, observing the world around us.
Right.
So is that where special revelation comes in?
Exactly. Special revelation is God choosing to communicate directly with us using words.
Okay.
And for Christians, that means the Bible. That's what Dr. Phillips would say.
Yeah.
That the Bible is God's unique and authoritative self-disclosure.
But hold on a second. If we're talking about a book that's been copied and translated for centuries,
mm-hmm.
how do we know that it's really reliable?
Mm.
I mean, surely some things could have gotten lost or changed along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what about those parts of the Bible that seem to clash with modern science or historical understanding?
Yeah.
Those are questions I've definitely wrestled with before.
Yeah, you're not alone in that. These are important questions to be thinking about, and this is where the concept of inspiration comes in. So Dr. Phillips explains that, you know, for Christians, the Bible isn't just like a random collection of ancient writings. It's
yeah.
inspired by God. And that means that the Holy Spirit actually guided the human authors, you know,
oh, wow.
in such a way that their words actually convey God's message.
But wouldn't that mean like squashing the unique voices and personalities of those authors?
That's a good question. But not necessarily. Dr. Phillips actually uses the prophet Jeremiah as a really great example. So, you know, Jeremiah lived in a time of exile and war and political upheaval, and you can really see those things reflected in his writing, you know?
Yeah.
His struggles, his raw emotion, even times when he questions God.
Wow.
But through it all, the Holy Spirit was working, even through those human experiences, those raw human experiences, to communicate God's message of judgment and hope.
So it's like God using Jeremiah's personality and struggles as like instruments to communicate with his people.
Right.
That's fascinating. But I'm guessing that this idea of the Bible being inspired probably raises a lot of questions for people, especially when we think about, like, you know, questions about its accuracy.
Absolutely. And you know how we think about the inspiration of scripture has an impact on how we wrestle with those questions about the historical accuracy of the Bible or the scientific accuracy of the Bible.
Right.
And there are different ways of approaching and understanding what it means for the Bible to be infallible.
Okay.
And Dr. Phillips really encourages us to look at those different viewpoints.
It's a good reminder that engaging with the Bible isn't about just accepting everything we read, but it's about, like, thoughtfully considering these hard questions.
Right.
And wrestling with them a little bit.
Exactly. And And if we believe that God is the one who revealed himself through scripture and inspired its writing, it stands to reason that the Bible carries a certain authority in our lives.
That makes sense. It's like, if we believe God is the designer of humanity,
yeah,
then the Bible is like, you know, like the owner's manual.
Yeah.
You know, for us.
That's a great way of putting it. You know, Dr. Phillips emphasizes that the Bible isn't just this book of rules or
yes.
abstract theological concepts.
Yeah.
It's a guide to understanding, you know, who we are, why we're here, and how we can actually live in a right relationship with God and each other.
But even if we accept that the Bible is inspired and authoritative, I mean, we still have this huge collection of texts, right?
Yeah.
So how do we actually decide which books belong in the Bible and which ones don't?
Well, that's where the concept of the canon comes in. You've probably heard that word canon before, but have you ever stopped to think about what it means?
No, not really.
It comes from the Greek word for a measuring reed, and that's essentially what it is.
Oh.
It's the measuring stick that the early Christians used to determine which books belonged in the Bible.
So it wasn't just like a bunch of writings thrown together randomly.
Oh, no, not at all. They had specific criteria that they used to evaluate each book. So things like, you know, theological orthodoxy, meaning like, does it align with the core truths about God that have already been established in other scriptures?
Right.
And also historical accuracy, like, do the events and claims in the book line up with what we know from reliable historical sources?
So that's how we ended up with the books that make up the Old Testament.
Right.
Although, I have to say, it can feel a little intimidating sometimes. I mean, it is a collection of ancient texts written in a different language, different culture, you know, thousands of years ago.
Yeah. So yeah. Where do you even begin to try to understand something like that?
You're right. It can seem like a really daunting task.
Yeah.
But Dr. Phillips reminds us that the Old Testament isn't just this big monolithic book.
Yeah.
It's this rich tapestry of different genres.
Okay.
Narratives, laws, poetry, prophecy, wisdom literature.
Wow.
All different kinds of things.
That's a lot.
And each of these has its own unique style and purpose. So it's like saying you're going to read a book, but you could be picking up a cookbook or a mystery novel or a biography.
Exactly.
Each of those you'd read in a totally different way.
And understanding the genre of a particular passage in the Old Testament is crucial for interpreting it correctly.
Right.
So Dr. Phillips encourages us to look into resources like Old Testament parallels, which give us a lot of really cool insight into the culture and historical context of these texts.
Okay.
And it can be super helpful to understand the customs, beliefs, and social structures of the world in which the Old Testament was written.
It's like having a translator, not just for the language, but for the culture itself.
Exactly. And she also recommends a book by Dr. Wilson. It's called Our Father Abraham. And this book actually delves into the Jewish interpretation of the Old Testament, which is really important because, you know, Christianity has its roots in Judaism.
Right.
And we can learn a lot from Jewish scholarship on these scriptures that we share.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's like having a conversation with someone from a different part of your family tree.
Mm.
You know, you might have different perspectives, but you share that common heritage and, you know, a deep respect for the same foundational stories.
Right. And those different perspectives can really enrich our understanding of the text in some pretty profound ways. But before we go any deeper into specific books or passages, I'm curious, what stood out to you the most so far in our discussion?
It's really interesting to think that the Old Testament, you know, this collection of books that we're exploring, didn't just like appear out of nowhere, you know, fully formed. It went through its own kind of unique journey to become what we have today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit like piecing together a puzzle, a really complex puzzle, where you have all these different pieces, and each piece has its own little story. And understanding how those pieces fit together helps us appreciate that bigger picture.
Right.
One of the first things that Dr. Phillips points out is that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah. Given its ancient origins and connection to the Jewish people. But that also means, for those of us who don't read Hebrew, like myself, that every version of the Old Testament that we pick up is a translation.
Right.
So what are some of the challenges that come with translating these ancient Hebrew texts into modern English?
Oh, it's a delicate art. Translators really have to grapple with all the little nuances of ancient languages, right?
Yeah.
And the idioms and cultural references that just might not have direct equivalents in modern English. It's not just about swapping words. It's about conveying the intended meaning in a way that, you know, resonates with contemporary readers,
right,
while remaining faithful to the original text.
That sounds incredibly challenging. How do they even go about making sure they're not imposing their own interpretations on the text?
Right.
Is there a way to balance accuracy with readability?
That's the big question. That's the key tension that translators are constantly wrestling with. And there are different approaches to translation. So some prioritize a more literal word-for-word rendering, and then others aim for more of a dynamic equivalence. So that means they're really focusing on conveying the meaning in a way that flows naturally in modern English.
So it's like choosing a recipe. Some people, they want to follow it exactly, you know, measure every ingredient to the gravogram.
Yeah.
But other people, they might be a little bit more comfortable with a looser approach, adding a dash of this or that.
Exactly.
Based on their own taste.
And that's kind of how it is with the Bible translations. You know, ultimately, finding a translation that speaks to you, that resonates with you personally, can make a big difference in how you experience the Old Testament.
Right.
But no matter which translation you choose, Dr. Phillips reminds us to approach the text with humility. You know, we're separated from those original authors by thousands of years and huge cultural differences.
It's like trying to understand a joke from another culture. You might get the general idea, but you could totally miss those little subtle, like, bits of humor.
Right.
Or those cultural references that would make it funny to someone else.
Exactly. We need to be aware of those blind spots that we might have and be willing to learn from resources that can help us bridge that cultural gap.
Right.
Speaking of which, remember those Old Testament parallels that Dr. Phillips mentioned earlier?
Yes, she said those could be really helpful in understanding the cultural context of the Old Testament.
Yeah, they're really great for exploring the customs and the beliefs and even the social structures of the ancient Near East. It's like having a tour guide who can walk you through the ruins and explain, you know, what everything means.
Oh, that's cool.
It really helps you visualize that world that these stories took place in.
That makes sense, because without that cultural context, we might misinterpret certain passages, or we might even miss the deeper significance of some events. It's kind of like if you're watching a historical drama, but you don't know anything about that time period.
Right.
You might enjoy the story, but you're going to miss out on a lot of those layers of meaning that add depth to the whole narrative.
Right. And Dr. Phillips recommends that we check out Dr. Wilson's book, Our Father Abraham.
Okay, because that one dives into the Jewish interpretation of the Old Testament.
That seems like a valuable perspective, especially given the shared history between Judaism and Christianity.
Absolutely. It's like, imagine you're listening to a conversation between two different branches of the same family.
Yeah.
They might have different interpretations or different traditions, but, you know, they still share a common heritage and a deep respect for those same, like, foundational texts.
I like that analogy. It reminds us that there's always more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that engaging with different perspectives can really enrich your understanding of the Bible. But I have to admit, sometimes even with all those really helpful resources, the Old Testament can just feel a little overwhelming. It's a huge book, and some of the material is really complex.
Yeah.
And even challenging sometimes. So where do you even begin with something like that?
You know, Dr. Phillips really encourages us to start by just simply reading. Just
yeah.
Start reading. Don't get bogged down by trying to, you know, understand every little detail perfectly right away.
Just allow yourself to kind of get immersed in those stories, the poems, the prophecies. Just let those words wash over you.
So it's more about just getting a feel for the overall landscape before you start, you know, digging down into all the details.
Exactly. Sometimes we get so caught up in analyzing every single verse that we kind of miss the bigger picture.
Yeah, we miss the forest for the trees.
Right, exactly. So just allow yourself to be swept up in the narrative.
And for those parts that are confusing or difficult to understand, that's where study Bibles and commentaries can be really helpful, right?
Absolutely. They can provide so much valuable context and explanations that can really help us unpack those challenging passages. Mm. It's like having a knowledgeable friend who's kind of guiding you along and answering your questions and pointing out things that you might have missed.
But I know some of our listeners might be thinking, I'd love to spend hours digging into the Old Testament, but real life gets in the way.
Right.
Like, I barely have time to make dinner, you know, let alone study ancient texts. So what advice would you give to someone who's, you know, maybe short on time, but still wants to engage with the Old Testament in a way that feels meaningful?
Dr. Phillips emphasizes that even just a few minutes a day can make a huge difference. She suggests that you find a translation that resonates with you, one that's accessible and engaging, and that you just start with a small chunk of time each day.
And there are so many translations out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like trying to find your way through a maze.
Yeah.
Any tips for how to choose a good one?
It's really about finding what works best for you and your reading style. Some people prefer translations that are more literal, where they stick closely to the original Hebrew.
Right.
And then others prefer translations that are more dynamic, where they focus on conveying the meaning in a way that flows naturally in modern English. So don't be afraid to experiment with different translations.
Okay.
You might be surprised at what you discover.
Okay, so we've talked about choosing a good translation, finding time for reading, even if it's just a few minutes every day. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways to make engaging with the Old Testament feel less like a chore and more like, you know, an adventure?
Well, Dr. Phillips really highlights the power of community here.
Oh, okay.
She encourages us to actually read the Old Testament with other people.
Oh.
To share your insights, to talk about the questions that you have, to even share your struggles with other people.
It's not just a solitary thing.
Right.
It's something you can experience with other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, join a Bible study group or attend a Sunday school class or even just have conversations with friends or family who are also reading the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It can make a huge difference. It's like having, you know, fellow travelers on a journey. You can encourage each other. You can learn from each other's insights and you can celebrate the discoveries that you make along the way.
And I'm sure, you know, when you hit those inevitable roadblocks, like those passages that leave you feeling confused or maybe even a little disturbed, it's got to be really helpful to have that community to process things with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, just to have people to remind you that it's okay to ask hard questions, to wrestle with the text, to acknowledge that you don't have all the answers. It's really comforting to know you're not alone in that struggle.
Yeah, that other people are wrestling with those same questions and doubts. So we've talked about reading and community and using helpful resources like, you know, those Old Testament parallels. Are there any other like tools or techniques that can help us navigate this vast and sometimes challenging world of the Old Testament?
One of the most important things that Dr. Phillips emphasizes is to pay attention to the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, remember, the Bible tells one unified story.
Right.
And the Old Testament really lays the foundation for the message of salvation through Jesus Christ in the New Testament.
So it's like watching a movie sequel without having seen the original.
Mm.
You might enjoy the action and the characters, but you're going to miss those connections.
Exactly. And so by understanding the Old Testament's prophecies, its promises, and the way that it foreshadows Jesus, we can gain a much richer understanding of his life, his death, his resurrection.
Right.
And what all of that means for our lives.
That suddenly makes the Old Testament feel a lot more relevant to, you know, our faith today. It's not just an ancient history book. It's a vital part of the whole Christian story.
Right, exactly.
A story that's still unfolding in our lives.
And the more deeply we understand the Old Testament, the more deeply we can appreciate the beauty and richness of our faith. But before we move on to some practical tips for engaging with the Old Testament, I'm just curious, what's like one key takeaway you'd want our listeners to remember from what we've talked about so far?
You know, after that incredible journey through all those like complexities of the Old Testament, I'm ready for some practical advice. Like, how can we, just as regular people, not, you know, biblical scholars, how can we apply this stuff in our lives? I mean, it's really easy to feel overwhelmed by it all, you know?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. And Dr. Phillips actually talks about that, you know?
Oh, good.
She says that you don't have to be, you know, a scholar to engage with the Old Testament. It can actually be a source of joy and wonder and even personal transformation.
Okay, that sounds a little bit more encouraging, but
yeah.
Like, where do we even begin? Any tips for making the Old Testament feel a little less intimidating and a little more, you know, accessible?
Well, one of the most simple yet powerful pieces of advice that Dr. Phillips gives is to just start by reading. You know, don't worry about understanding every single little detail at first.
Yeah.
Just immerse yourself in those stories, the poetry, the prophecies. Just let the words kind of wash over you.
So it's more about developing like a relationship with the text than trying to, you know, dissect it under a microscope.
Exactly. Think of it like, you know, getting to know a new friend. You don't just bombard them with a million questions right away.
Right.
You just spend time with them. You listen to their stories and you get a sense of who they are.
That's a great analogy.
Right.
It takes the pressure off, like having to be an instant expert or something.
Right.
But what about those parts that are just like inevitably confusing or challenging to understand?
Mm.
I mean, I know I've definitely come across passages where I'm just like, what is going on here? What could this possibly mean?
Oh, yeah. Those moments are totally normal. And they're actually a good sign. It means you're really engaging with the text.
Okay.
And Dr. Phillips reminds us that it's okay to have questions. It's okay to wrestle with what you're reading. You know, it's even okay to disagree with it.
Okay.
In fact, a lot of times those struggles can lead to some really profound insights.
So it's not about blindly accepting everything that we read, but it's more about engaging with the text critically and thoughtfully.
Exactly. And that's where some of those resources that we've talked about, like study Bibles and commentaries, even those Old Testament parallels, those can be super valuable.
Yeah.
They can help shed some light on those tough passages, provide a little bit of historical and cultural context, and just give you some different interpretations to consider.
It's like having a tour guide to help you navigate like an ancient city or something. You know, you might get lost if you were by yourself, but with a good guide, you can discover all these hidden treasures and really appreciate all the history and beauty of the city.
Yeah, I love that. And don't underestimate the value of community in that journey, too.
Okay.
Sharing your thoughts and questions and struggles with others. I mean, it can really enrich your understanding.
Yeah.
And just provide support along the way.
Speaking of community, Dr. Phillips talks about this one relationship that's particularly helpful for understanding the Old Testament. And that's the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Why is it so important to view these two parts of the Bible as connected?
Well, think of it like this. The Old Testament lays the groundwork for the New Testament. It tells the story of God's covenant with his people, their struggles, their triumphs, and their longing for a savior. And then the New Testament, it fulfills those promises and prophecies in the person of Jesus Christ.
So you're saying it's like watching a movie sequel without having seen the original.
Yeah.
You might enjoy the story on the surface, but you miss all those deeper connections.
Yeah.
So by understanding the Old Testament, we can more fully appreciate who Jesus was and why he came and what it all means, right?
Exactly. The Old and New Testaments, they're two parts of one unified story. The story of God's love for humanity, a story that's still unfolding in our lives today.
Wow.
And as you engage with the Old Testament, Dr. Phillips encourages us to look for those connections, those threads of prophecy and promise and foreshadowing that all point to Jesus.
It's a good reminder that the Old Testament isn't just some old dusty history book.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing text. It speaks to our deepest longings and desires, and it offers wisdom and guidance and hope for us even today.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I just want to leave you with this thought from Dr. Phillips. She says that the Old Testament isn't just a book to be studied. It's a story to be lived. So as you engage with these stories, as you encounter its wisdom and its challenges, let it shape your heart. Let it shape your mind. Let it shape your actions.
That's beautiful.
It's an invitation to a much deeper relationship with the God who speaks through these pages.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible journey through the Old Testament. We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and deepened your understanding and inspired you to engage with this ancient and ever-relevant text in a new and meaningful way.